our guide. Lead us into truth. Open our eyes to see things. Open our hearts to sense your movement and your presence, God, to hear your voice, Father. Give us the mind of Christ this morning and a desire to be led by you, Father. God, no matter what condition we've come into this room, Father, I pray that we understand that you are among us, Father God, and you have the ability, you have the power, God, to push away all the things that are distractions to us, Father. Father, just pray that anything that we're dealing with this morning, God, that you would just give us a holy confidence in you. Father, we pray that you would chase away fear and doubt, the enemy's words. And God, that you would just be very present among us. Give us the mind of Christ. God, I lift up the Underwood family this morning, God, as the loss of Ronnie's dad and suddenly. And I just pray for them, God, that you would just be the God of all comfort, that you would wrap your arms around them, Father, and that they would sense your presence and know that you are real. Father God, that they would gain something from you this morning, even in the midst of the struggle, even in the midst of the grief, Father, they would hear a word that would comfort them, God. They would have confidence in you. Father, for anyone in this room who's struggling with all the things we struggle with, God, I mean, we're just real people just dealing with real stuff. God, I pray, God, that you would come and just visit us. Give us that holy confidence in you, Father God. Let us know, Father, that you are carrying us in your arms, Father, and that anything and everything that we experience, God, is not too big for you. Father, I pray that you would tune our hearts to you this morning, God. I pray that we would hear your voice, that we would know you, that we would experience you this morning. We have an understanding of truth maybe in a way we haven't before. And God, as we continue to press into you, God, as we continue to seek your face and to seek your heart and to desire revival within our lives, Father, protect us from the enemy. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment, God, to know when he is attempting to attack us. And God, may we run to you, Father. Teach us this morning what you want us to hear from you, what you want us to know and to understand, Father God. And may we walk out of here better than we walked in, Father. Help us to apply your word, God, not just a minute. Give us courage. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of his people said, amen. Good morning. Good to be here with you this morning. If you are our guest, if you have not been here, we are in the middle of a series called More Than Just Sundays. And we're just really looking at chasing after a life with God, experiencing life in Christ outside of Sunday morning. Amen? This is easy. This is where we gather together. This is where we all hear the same thing. We all pretty much want to be here. We all have a certain expectation in this room. No one's going to stand against us, come against us. Sundays are easy. Monday is hard. Bless you. Monday is hard. Monday is where the rubber meets the road, and we want to be Christ followers, and we want to go deep with God. And so we've been looking into this series about living more than just Sundays, rooting some things out of our life that just might get in the way of us having revival, experiencing God. This is a springboard off of our last message series where we looked at 2 Chronicles 7:14, the pathway to revival. And so now we're looking at, are there obstacles in our life that are keeping us from experiencing God? And so if you were not here in week one, we talked about unconfessed sin. The number one thing that will block your pathway to God, Jesus will stand in the road, so to speak, and he will stand there and be stubborn and make you and I face our sin and won't let us go any further with him until we address the things we need to address. The only way around him is to get off the road, and that's not a good plan. And so he desires to change us. He desires to show us truth, and we have to go to him and ask him about the sin in our life. I encourage you to go back onto our Facebook page or go back onto our website, cgcc.org, and listen to that message. In week two, we talked about doubtful habits, those things in our lives that we may not be able to find a specific answer in the Word of God about, but we have this check in our spirit. You know what I'm talking about? You're about to say something, and the Holy Spirit goes, no. You ever been there? Don't do it. Don't say it, right? He's telling us about something in our life. It may be fine for somebody else, but it's not fine for you. It's not fine for where God is taking you, the journey that you are on right now, the progression you're making, and he will say no to you, maybe because you can't handle it, maybe because it will damage kingdom, maybe it's something to do with your past, whatever it is, doubtful habits in our lives. If you are not sure, the best thing to do is don't do it, don't say it, don't think it, run to God with it and let him chase you down. Amen? And so doubtful habits get in the way. It doesn't make room for God to move in our lives. Today I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. I want to talk about why we have the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about how we need to respond to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. Amen? And respond how? Immediately, thank you. Quickly, instantly, respond in some way. Now, he may be shaping you for something, but you can at least say yes. Amen? Say yes to that shaping. But many times when he speaks to us, it's in the moment, do what I'm calling you to do, or don't do what I'm not calling you to do in order to live that Christ-like life that he has for us. And so let's talk about the Holy Spirit for just a moment. And you can turn, go ahead and why don't you just turn to John chapter 16 this morning. Turn to John chapter 16 as we talk about the Holy Spirit. And as you're turning there, listen to me at the same time. John chapter 16, and then listen up for just a second. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Amen? Okay, it is the third person of God, or he is the third person of God. The Holy Spirit is a personality, a person, okay? God is a triune God. It means he's a three-in-one God. We call him the Trinity, but that's not actually in the Bible. Did you know that? But he's a triune God. He is a three-in-one God. If that is confusing to you, you're not alone, okay? Let me try to put it in a language that you can understand. I've said this before, but I know we always have new people. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but all God, amen? All with the same power of God, the same knowledge. It is God. This is a Trinity that is known as God. I am Bud Davis. Correct? All right, just making sure you knew that. I am the pastor of Common Ground Church. My role as a pastor of Common Ground Church, I bring everything with me. All of Bud Davis comes into this room. All of me. My personality comes in. My fears come in, right? My hopes come in. My background comes in. Everything about me, my knowledge, the way I think about things, I bring that to the table in the role of pastor of Common Ground Community Church. But I am also the husband of Lori. And I bring all of me into that relationship. My background, my thinking, my personality, all of that comes into that role. But I don't bring that role here on Sunday morning, even though it's in me. Amen? I'm also the father to my daughter and an advisor to my daughter. She calls me when she has a question about spiritual matters or money. She calls her mama when she has questions about relationships. Y'all know from the sons and the right, y'all know how that works, right? But I am her father. And as her father, I bring my personality, my background, my experience, my advice. I bring all into her in that role. So I have three roles in my life, three major roles in my life. I'm the pastor, I'm the husband, I'm the father, but I am me in all of those roles. Does that make sense? That's how God is. God the Father, who is over all, the creator of all, everything belongs to him. God the Son, God wraps himself in flesh, comes down to be among us so that we don't have to live by the law, but we understand this is a relational relationship in our lives. And God the Spirit, the mind of God, the Spirit of God that he gives us when we become a Christ follower. All the same. Like when you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need. Amen? That's how that works, just in case you weren't sure. It's kind of like cherry pie. Anybody like cherry pie? I don't like fruit, but I like the sauce. Right? You know, the juicy stuff inside. When you cut a cherry pie into three pieces, like all the insides run together, but outside you can see it's distinctly three pieces. Pie, Cody. Right? Cody loves pie. He's got an addiction problem, but we'll talk about that later. So you can see that it's three distinct pieces of pie, but on the inside it's all the same. Amen? That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is the teacher, the counselor, the guide, the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ that he gives us upon becoming a Christ follower. So you're in John 3:16, right? Let's just jump in and talk about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does. Sorry, what? John 16, what did I say? Oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. Y'all know better than me, and it's up there. This is bad, right? Where we go from here? John chapter 16, and let's see what he says about the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus has not been crucified. He has not been raised from the dead. He is with his disciples right now, and he's teaching them. John 16, verse 5, he says, "Now I am going to him who sent me." He means the Father. Jesus is speaking. "I'm going to him, the Father, who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." I understand that, right? Remember the day in which we live. Jesus is one person. He can only be one place at a time, and everybody wants him, right? And so they're pulling on him. But in order to have access to Jesus, you have to go to Jerusalem, or you have to go to Galilee, or you've got to go to Samaria. You've got to find him, track him down in order to get from him what you want. And so Jesus says, "I'm going away, and none of you is asking where I'm going. You're just in grief because I'm leaving, because you don't understand what I'm going away for." And I can understand that. We got to give these guys a break. What do you mean? I gave you 3 years of my life. I've left everything behind. I'm following you, and now you're going to disappear? But listen to what Jesus says. He says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor," capital C, counselor, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." This is why he has to go away. He says, "In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say." Yeah, amen. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can right now bear." I mean, they got all the Jesus they can handle right now, okay? He says, "I got much more to say to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth," so the Holy Spirit's been called the counselor, and the Holy Spirit's been called the Spirit of truth, capital S, "comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." So one of the things we see in the role of the Holy Spirit is he is a very personal God to us. He is going to come and teach us, and he will teach each of us differently according to where we are in our relationship with God. He doesn't teach the word differently, but he'll teach us according to what God has for us, and it's a very personal thing. Now, let me just say this to you. There are two purposes why God gives the Holy Spirit. This is one of them, to have this very personal aspect of God living within us. But as I teach in class 101, it's not about you. That's a hard one for us, isn't it? Because the world says that everything is about us. Make it about you. Just do it. Put yourself first. The Bible says the complete opposite. It's not about you. But God is very personal to you, because he wants us to understand that we have a relationship with him. We don't have to follow the law anymore. It's not crossing T's. It's not dotting I's. We now have a personal relationship with God when we become a Christ follower. His Spirit comes to reside inside of us, and we get a teacher. Amen? We get a counselor. Amen? We get a guide. Amen? I need all three and more at all times. Because, look, I'm going to go my own way, right? How many of you are stubborn like me? Just admit it. See, if you're not raising your hand and somebody thinks you are, like that right there. Did you see that? You missed that. But Sandy was trying to make Rich raise his hand up because she knows he's stubborn, right? We are stubborn people. I want it my way, don't you? Well, the problem is if all of us want it our way, how's that godly? Because your way and my way, not the same thing, because I'm right and you're wrong. That's how we all think, isn't it? And so we need a teacher, we need a counselor and a guide. So. growing up into the head, which is Christ, the Bible says. We need that in our lives. So he gives us a counselor and a teacher and a guide to help us. We can pray to him. He will speak to the Father for us. I mean, we have this great thing in having the Holy Spirit. But that is only one attribute for us. There's another attribute that's quite the opposite. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I bet you didn't know there were red letters in the book of Acts. Some of y'all might not know that. Red letters mean Jesus spoke. And in Acts chapter 1, I'm sorry, we're in John, it's the next book, Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, listen to what Luke is writing. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he says this in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. That's the gift he just talked about in John 16, right? I'm going to go away, I'm going to send you somebody else. So he says, wait for the gift the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be a baptism for Christ followers. Baptism with water is for repentance. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is for Christ followers. He sends his Spirit to live inside of us, and now we have the personhood of God teaching us and counseling. It's the greatest thing ever because we need it. And so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. See, they don't want to hear that. They're always hungry for, when are we going to get out from underneath this Roman oppression? When are you going to restore the kingdom? When is the army going to come rushing in and Israel is going to be the shining star, the apple of God's eye all over again? And he says, that's none of your business. But what is your business is this. He says, it's not for you to know the dates or the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, he's got it under control. Don't worry if he's right or wrong. It's his authority. He's got it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in all of Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, or the end of the earth. So he says, God's got his agenda under control. Your agenda is this. We're going to empower, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, going to empower you with the person of the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to be people of kingdom advance. That's your job. Do you know that? To advance the kingdom of God in the way you live, in the people you speak to, always offering the gospel, always offering your gospel story so that other people can hear it and buy in and realize that God is who he is. And every time someone comes to know Christ, the kingdom is advancing. Amen? That's our job. It's extremely important. It's why God gave us his Holy Spirit. We can't be selfish with God's Holy Spirit. Amen? But are we? Are we? So he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he says, and the reason he said don't leave Jerusalem, because that's where it was going to happen, right there in Jerusalem. And then, they don't know it yet, but a great persecution is coming to scatter them to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Because listen, nobody wants to leave, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, like, what if I told you I need every one of you in church to scatter and not come here anymore? And plug into other churches that are struggling or failing or just start some street ministry out there. Just start doing that instead. Nobody wants to leave the nest. And that's how it was in Jerusalem. So a great persecution broke out and they left. And that's where you see God moving, by the way. Just let's take a side trip for a second. You're whining and crying because God sent you out to Samaria and you can't see the end means which God is doing when he gave you his Holy Spirit to send it there so that they could know Christ. And we go, why me? Why me? Why are you displacing me? Why are you upsetting my life? To get you where you won't go so you can impact the world. Man, if we could see what God is doing in the midst of our storms and realize there's something on the other side of that storm, you would look for the storms. You'd be excited about the storms. You couldn't wait for the maturity that James talks about because of the storms. But we want to keep that Holy Spirit right here. Don't say too much to me unless it works really good for me. But he says, no, you have the Holy Spirit to send you out into all parts of the world with a story. What story? I'm glad you asked. Turn over to John chapter 3. We're going to do a lot of scripture today, so get ready to flip and move. You know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son that who? whoever believes, anybody, all those people out there that aren't in here right now, whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. We know that, but he goes beyond that and he says, listen, in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Sometimes when you listen to Christians, you'd think that was our story, right? I mean, sometimes we can be really harsh people and not act in love and say all the things that we think that God hates. And then nobody wants to come to Jesus. He says right here, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's the greatest story ever told. Do you get it? Are you excited about it? Okay, convince me. Just saying. See, we get a little too used to our Christianity. We're a little too comfortable in our Christianity. We need to be, listen, when God saved you, you should never be able to get over it. It should be an issue for you for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? That's how it should be. I can't recover from this. I can't keep silent. So he says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There are so many people out there that don't know they're condemned already. We have the message of the gospel. The Holy Spirit has empowered us to be witnesses to all the world around you in a ripple effect, out, out, out. What are we doing with that? Turn, if you will, over to the book of Romans. Romans is going to be two books to your right. Romans chapter 10. We have this message. Paul is writing to the Roman church this exact same thing that is talked about here in the book of John. He's talking about being saved. He's talking about believing on the name of Jesus. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 10. You were in John, there's Acts, and then there's Romans. In Romans chapter 10, listen to what Paul writes. And this is about us, okay? So it's going to get real personal real fast. And the question I have for you today is, will you let it get personal? Or are you going to put your wall up? Or are you going to say it only pertains to the preacher? Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the name or call on the one they have not believed in? If you don't believe, you're condemned already, John says. Here he says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? Makes sense, right? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without you? That's what it says, my interpretation. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Let me just make sure you understand. I'm sending you. Okay? Now you're sent. You were already sent by Jesus. Now I'm telling you to go. Please go. When you drive out of the driveway, that is your mission field. You're entering the mission field. Go. How can they preach unless they're sent? I'm sending you. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is God's statement about you. Y'all know I don't like feet, right? I got a major issue with feet. I believe they should always have at least socks on them, preferably shoes also. But in this context, he's not really talking about feet, is he? He's saying, how beautiful are the ones who go and tell. Think about that. When you tell someone about Jesus, whether you speak the gospel or you tell your gospel story, which is really relatable, right? He calls you beautiful. Do you want God to call you beautiful? I mean, think about it. Think about who we are. We're sinners who deserve to die, and the wages of our sin was death. So Jesus came and died in our place, which doesn't make us better. It makes us rescued. Amen? And yet, when we go and tell that story, God calls a bunch of worthless sinners beautiful. How many of you struggle? You may not even raise your hand because you struggle with this. How many of you struggle with self-confidence? Okay, God calls you beautiful. Quit struggling. I mean, seriously, he is all authority. He calls you beautiful. I don't care what your neighbor calls you. You're beautiful. Go tell the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who go and tell the good news. He has empowered us by his Holy Spirit to speak the gospel out to the nations. And when we do, he calls us beautiful because we're on his path. I mean, it's amazing. That's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit to do that. And our job is to go. There's a responsibility that is associated with receiving the Holy Spirit. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't. It's not right. Turn back over to the book of John again. John chapter 14 this time. In John chapter 14, remember that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his 12, having this conversation. He has not gone to the cross. He has not been buried. He has not been raised yet. So this is pre-Holy Spirit. And yet again, he's speaking to us about the Holy Spirit. You and I understand that we have an obligation to the Holy Spirit because we're on the other side of that. Amen? We have an obligation to the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. That's why he gave it to us, gave him to us. So in John chapter 14 in verse 15, this statement comes up and you and I can't get out from under it because Jesus said it. There's no worming around here, okay? If you love me, verse 15, you will obey what I command. How you doing? But seriously, how are you doing? Every time the Spirit speaks, what are we supposed to do? Obey. Speak, obey. Speak, obey. Speak, obey. That's our job. He says, it is the litmus test of your love for me, that I saved you, that I gave you this teacher, counselor, and guide. In other words, he's saying you don't have any excuse. But we come up with them all the time, don't we? If you love me, you will obey what I command. And remember, this is pre-Holy Spirit for the people he's talking to. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, capital C, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. In other words, you can't go wrong. It's the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you, and here's what's happening to us now, and he will be in you. When I send him, he will be in you. Day of Pentecost, he will be in you. When you became a Christ follower, he deposits his Spirit in you. So you and I are now the in you people. They're the not in you yet people. We're the in you people if we're Christ followers. Amen? You with me? Okay. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, meaning the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us as orphans. He already said, when I go away, I'm going to send a counselor. He's not going to leave us as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Wow. See him right in here, eh? On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What a beautiful, complete picture of what the Holy Spirit does. We have access to the Father. He goes on and says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Listen to this beautiful statement. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In other words, if you're in a love relationship with Christ, you know his voice. He tells us in John 10:27, my sheep know my voice. Wow. He says, I'll come and I will love you. And I'll show myself to you. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, this is Thaddeus, okay, the other Judas, the good Judas, all right? Then Thaddeus said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And you and I understand that answer, right? But Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Home. This is home. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, capital C, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Do you understand what the Holy Spirit's job is? He is not just our teacher, our counselor, and our guide, but he reminds us. You're going along in life, and all of a sudden you encounter something. The Holy Spirit says, do this, do that. God's word comes up inside of you, and you know just what to say. Have you ever had that happen? You're like, where did that come from? Right? I don't even hardly remember that verse, but it comes up at the right time. That's what he does. And he says he'll teach you everything. And also, when you read God's word, the Holy Spirit is your interpreter of God's word. He will speak it into your life. That's why you need to read. I mean, you need to pray before you read and ask God, teach me your word by your Holy Spirit. Help me understand your word. So it's not just words on a page, but it's life. Okay? So he says, verse 25, he says, all this I have spoken to you while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you. Will remind you, as we were talking about. Will remind you. It'll come up in you like, oh yeah. Will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens. Why? So that when it happens, you will believe. And where did it happen? Back over in Acts. He said, don't leave Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit came, and the dumb sheep in the room went, oh, yeah. That's kind of what happened. That's who we are. Sheep are dumb. We need a constant reminding, which is why you need to read God's word, know God's word, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word to you. We need to constantly be taught. It's the Holy Spirit's job. But he doesn't just teach us God's word for information. Amen? He teaches us for application because we're kingdom advanced people. We're kingdom advanced people. And so we have a responsibility and an obligation to that very thing. Turn, if you will, over to the book of Galatians. While you're turning there, I want to remind you of something. Galatians is to your right, so you have Acts, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you have Galatians. About four or five books over, chapter 5. So God has given us his Holy Spirit in order to obey him. In order to obey him, he wants to produce some things in us. We have to obey him for those things to be produced in us so that we can be effective in the mission that God has given us. Because I don't know if you realize this or not, but everyone is watching your life. Do you realize that? You're always being watched. In the workplace, you're being watched. At church, you're being watched. With family, you're being watched. If you profess Christ out loud, you're being watched. I don't mean they're standing there going, I can't wait to see what Janie's going to do or Janie's going to mess up. But they're aware of us. Our testimony is powerful. And so they're watching us, and when we do something against our testimony, it's very different, it's very radical, it's alarming to them, and then we become believable or not believable accordingly, okay? But over in the book of Galatians, let me just read something to you that I think is important. Chapter 5, and let's look in verse 16 for a minute. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul is writing to the Galatians. The Galatians are kind of messed up people like us, okay? And so he says this in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by the Spirit. So he gave us his Spirit to live by. He's our teacher, our counselor, our guide, to live by that instruction. And if you love me, you'll obey me. Right? He's got us in every angle, doesn't he? And he's got us right where he wants us. He says, you are called to live by the Spirit. He goes on and he says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So if you're like, what does living by the Spirit mean? He describes it right here. The sinful nature is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Do you have a war going on inside of you? You should. It is the evidence you belong to God. You should have this constant war between your flesh and the Spirit. Listen, if you have no war and you just do whatever you normally do, warning, you don't belong to him. There should be a war in your life. The Spirit speaks the opposite of what the flesh speaks, and they're both talking to you. Okay? There's a war going on inside of you. He says, pick the Spirit. Win. Because if you don't, you're going to mess up. He goes on and makes sure that we understand. What I love about God's word is he treats us like the sheep that we are. And he describes things in detail, and there's no misunderstanding. He says here, they're in conflict with each other, so you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of the flesh, and therefore the law that was handed down by Moses. He says the acts of the sinful nature are what? Obvious. So he's talking to some, we're just some dummies, right? And he's going to talk to us for a moment. He goes, in case you don't know, it's really obvious. And here's what they are. They are sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. That's wild living, no morals, right? Idolatry and witchcraft. Now you're saying to yourself, I'm good, right? I don't practice witchcraft. I don't think I have any idols. Think about that one. Debauchery is not really a part of my life. But how about this one? Hatred. Ever hated anybody? That's not living by the Spirit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Hatred, discord, jealousy. We getting warmer? Fits of rage. Ever been there? Had that moment where you say, it's not me, it was you. It's you. It's just in there real deep. It's you. Fits of rage, selfish ambition. That probably hits all of us. Selfish ambition, dissensions. Ever had a little discord, a little factions and envy? How about envy? I want what you have. I think I deserve it and you don't. Drunkenness and orgies and the like. I won't ask you about that. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if this is your lifestyle, if this is what you choose to live by the flesh, you're not a Christ follower. There should be a war going on inside of you. If there's no war going on inside of you, this is how you'll live. So there's a great litmus test to where you are. But he goes on because he's so good to us. And he says, but here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. In other words, he says the fruit of the Spirit is obvious. Why? Because it's in conflict with the fruit of the flesh. And here's what he says the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit given to us by the Holy Spirit, by his teaching, and us practicing. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience we all need, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the one we love the best, self-control. Gift of the Spirit. These are not just deposited into you upon your salvation and suddenly you're fleshing them out and everything's wonderful. Not quite how it works. But the Spirit is our teacher in all of these areas. He wants us to bear fruit. When you become a Christ follower, you come up like a little sprig and a couple of leaves on it. And as you continue to grow in Christ, a few blossoms come out, right? And then what comes after that? Fruit. And the fruit will continue to grow until it is ripe. It is a lifestyle, a lifelong journey with God. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not just like, boom, there you are. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, I mean, I became a Christian. It's like, oh, I just love my enemy. I mean, if you hadn't even read that, how do you know how to take that journey? But what happens is, you read it in God's Word, and if you obey the Spirit when He says, love your enemy, you start on a journey where love is going to grow in you more and more and more. Don't be fake about it, by the way. Don't be fake about it. Go to God. Say, God, this is a really uncomfortable moment. I've got somebody in my life, they're in the same room with me. I'm so uncomfortable about it, but you tell me to love my enemy. God, give me what I need. And it may be nothing more in that moment than just being decent. Don't say what you think, right? You keep doing it. You keep working on it. All of a sudden, you will realize it's not a big deal to you anymore. All of a sudden, you will realize that you can actually speak to this person. You can actually say something kind. You can be polite. You can be civil. And what it grows into, as you begin to experience love, as you hand that over to God, and you begin obeying His Word, He will grow something up inside of you that won't make sense to them, and that's the very thing that will win them to Christ. Because it doesn't make sense. But you can't just walk in the room and go, I love you, and they go, right. That's what happens. Genuine love. When that happens, joy grows up in you. Peace is suddenly yours in that circumstance. We have to obey the Spirit, and these things, this fruit, will develop and grow in us more and more and more. But if you don't, it won't. God's not a genie. You don't rub the lamp, and love leaps into your heart. It doesn't happen that way. God's love leaps into your heart, but your love for someone else stays buried. And that's a tough one for us. Turn back over to Romans. I told you it's going to take you everywhere. Taking you everywhere today. You're going to know where these books are. That's right. In Romans 15, look at this little comment that was made by Paul. Romans 15. I just sit here and read a Bible for you. That'd be great. You don't need me. Let's just read together, right? Romans 15, verse 13. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans here. It's kind of a funny little sentence. We look at it as a greeting or a closer, and we kind of move on. May the God of hope fill you with what? All peace and joy. Those are two things that were in the other list, right? May the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy. Here's the condition. As you trust in him. As you believe him. If you trust him, you'll obey him. And as you obey him, he will fill you with all peace and joy. But if you don't, you're going to miss that. And you're not going to have peace and joy. And so it's just an example in Scripture. May God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy, all peace, as you trust in him. Why? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. Right? This is the Holy Spirit's job. As you obey the Holy Spirit, he will fill you with whatever it is you are lacking in that moment, and it will glorify God, and it will throw them into confusion to the point that hopefully they'll ask a question one day. And because of your genuineness and your love for God, you can tell your story and expand the kingdom. How beautiful are the feet? Amen? How beautiful are the feet? While you're in Romans, go to chapter 8. Listen, if you've never read Romans chapter 8, you just need to read it. Don't read it now, but you need the whole book of Romans. I tell you this all the time. The book of Romans is like the four gospels all pulled into one. It tells you how to be saved. It tells you why to be saved. It tells you about our condition, God's love. Everything in Romans is like the gospel condensed. And 8 is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 9, listen to what Paul says. He says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. There's another litmus test right there, okay? The Spirit of God, if he lives in you, then you are controlled by the Spirit of God. You fight the sinful nature, you press into God, and he will produce fruit in your life. And you'll be amazed. It kind of sneaks up on you. As you're obeying God's word, you're obeying God's voice, all of a sudden, like you just did something, you're like, what? That's kind of what happens to you. And then this joy comes. It's like God just taught you something so huge you can't even express it to anyone. Have you ever like counseled with someone or whatever, and you walk away and you're like, that wasn't even me. Like, those words, where did that come from? But you know. And it's like, wow, this is what God means when he says he can use us. This is what God means. I mean, my words were not my own. They were his words to advance his kingdom, power of the Holy Spirit. Just by listening, just by obeying, just by living by the Spirit, asking God questions, pressing into him. It's the most amazing thing we can ever experience. But we need to do it when God speaks. Think about it for a second. You're in a situation. You want to say something, and you feel justified. Ever been there? And the Holy Spirit says, no, 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 no. Don't do it. Ever been there? Have you ever done it anyway? Oh, thank you for being honest. I don't feel alone anymore. I have too. But have you also obeyed? Have you caught wind of like, wait, that was the Spirit of God? Like, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Count to 10, count to 20, count to 100. Walk away. Whatever you have to do, depending on your level of self-control. Right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. When do you answer? Immediately. Why? Because if you don't, it just came out of your mouth. You have to reply promptly to the Holy Spirit. When he speaks, he's telling you something right then and right there. Don't do it, because it doesn't create kingdom advance. It damages your witness, and now you're going to have to crawfish, and it's going to take a long time to earn that trust back. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it when? Now. Promptly obey the Spirit of God. What about a situation like this? You're having lunch with a friend of yours and they're upset and you can tell that life's not going well, they're making poor choices, and all of a sudden you realize that my story fits right into this and God wants me to witness to them. It may not be the gospel, it may be your gospel story, same thing. And God says, tell them, tell them. And you start freaking out on the inside. Have you ever been there? And if you don't answer when, immediately, now, they're going to walk away. And let me tell you what happens to you next. That knowing inside of you comes up. Because the Holy Spirit really starts talking to you then, doesn't he? And you can't recreate the moment. The minute you create the moment, you will ruin it. Don't do that. We've all missed moments, right? I've missed moments. Have you? Okay, we've all missed those moments. That person walks away and you're like, I can't believe it. And then you're looking for that to happen again. You're almost trying to manufacture it. Sometimes it happens again, sometimes it doesn't. But what it does to you on the inside, it's like a beautiful, awful thing all at the same time. God's teaching you something, and yet you're just dealing with disobedience. It's a terrible thing because you realize someone's life was in your hands and you missed it. So when God says to do that, you answer when? Now, immediately, and you just do it. Listen, think of it this way. If God tells you to do something, it can't go wrong. It doesn't matter how it looks to you. It can't go wrong. They may get mad at you. They may whatever with you. But at the end of the day, seeds have been planted. And you've got to count it all joy because he's maturing you. He's doing something in them. And you have to see to the other side of it that God, the Lord of the harvest, can bear fruit in that circumstance. And if you get smacked for it, well, blessed are you who are persecuted for my name's sake. Praise the Lord. But talk about knowing you're in Christ. It's the rough stuff that helps you know you're in Christ. The easy stuff, you can kind of credit yourself, credit your neighbor, maybe you credit God. But that's the stuff. If you don't answer now, the opportunity is missed. The person doesn't hear. Now, is God going to go, oh, no, now they'll never be saved? No, we'll just use Debbie now instead of Jeremiah. He's going to go over us, around us, through us, under us. He's going to do it. I don't want to be avoided. I want him to go through me. But I can tell you, I've missed opportunity. Mike, can I put you on the spot here for a second? Come tell your story for just a second. It's only about that long, but it's a good one. Do we have a live mic here, Mark? That's hard to say, a live mic, Mark. And you got to tell it the way you told me, with that cool factor. You're just cool, Mike, and you don't know it. It's all right. Mike's hip, right? He's just hip. It's just, he don't know it.
So, every other week we have a meeting in my department. So we had a meeting last week. It was one of those meetings that got out of hand. Like, temperatures flaring, cuss words. One guy said, there's the door, I quit. He got out of hand. I'm like caught in the middle. So I'm like,
awkward turtle.
So, I mean, it got bad. And, but it was, I could see it coming because the coworkers had a lot of stuff that was pinned up and they never got it out. So it was just built up and built up. And finally came to a head and it got out of that meeting. And the meeting after that, everything was resolved. So it was like a couple hours later, I think after lunch, this was in the morning, so after lunch, I was sitting at my desk, I was like, man, I got really out of hand quick. And then, the main guy who was kind of pitching the fit, he's sitting across from me. And I looked over at him and I was like, man, got out of hand quicker than like only God can do. You need to go pray over Mark. No, I don't think so. So I wish I could have said, like, sir, and run over there. No, I fought God. I fought God for a good 30 minutes. I set my cubicle, I was looking over there, and I could feel it growing. So I walked over there and said, hey, Mark, I need to pray over you. And the whole time I'm thinking, I was like, I'm so uncomfortable. I was like, man, I don't want to do this. Mark, I just need to pray over you. He's like, no, man, I'm good. And right then and there, I'm going to be like, okay, peace out.
I was obedient.
My feet planted in the ground. God told me to do, but I fought him. And yeah, I'm in the same journey with y'all. I'm not perfect. You know, I wish I could have said in the moment he spoke, I did it. I didn't. But after that, I don't know what happened. I just know a seed was planted, so God's going to take that and do whatever he needs to do with it.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's a good story. That's an everyday story, isn't it? That's just an everyday story. We fight God, we resist. Thank God that God kept that window open. You know, and I mean, with that tension and all, we knew it would, you know, it would be there for a while or whatever. But thank God, you know, how many of us do that though? We say, okay, finally, I'm just gonna do it. Fine. And they go, I'm good, and we go, checking out. And then we can say, we can fool ourselves into saying, I did what God told me to do. They refused, not on me anymore. Is that obedience? No, he didn't say, go say I want to pray over you. God said, go pray over him. So until you do, you're not obedient. And then Jesus says, you don't love me, right? Because that's not what I gave my spirit for. That's not what I died for. I died for that guy who's so angry. I died for that guy who can't see through this situation, that guy that's so analytical, he doesn't know if I'm real or not anymore. And through you, Michael, who's one of the realest people I know, just authentic Michael, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you need to know this guy. This is one of the most amazing, authentic people I know with the biggest heart. I don't know how his body contains his heart, seriously. And of all people, God speaks through Michael to this very analytical guy, and we don't know what happened, and it doesn't matter. He's the Lord of the harvest. But the seeds were planted. And now Michael has to watch his life very carefully in front of, what's his name? Mark. He has to watch his life very carefully in front of Mark. But now Mark will be watching Michael's life very carefully to see what he's made of. The crisis will come again. And now you know what? Mark will probably initiate going to Michael. That's what it's about. Because one person obeyed the Holy Spirit one time at the right time and didn't put it off. How great is that? This is what our lives are made of, if we could just fathom that. This is what our every single day lives are for. People all around us, just waiting, opportunities. Begin to pray for opportunities. When you do, you won't be let down. I promise you, I have never, ever, ever in my 30-whatever years of being a Christian, I've never prayed that prayer and an opportunity has not presented itself in a very obvious fashion to me. That's scary, because now you don't want to pray that prayer, right? But you're never going to go anywhere if you don't. And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all those things are going to be stunted in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit won't be seen, but the fruit of the flesh will be seen, because that's what's winning. So it's not about Sunday, is it? Sunday's nothing. Sunday's where we soak it in and we go, what am I going to do with this? And then you get 6 days, 6.5 days to figure that out, to do something with it. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. I don't understand what it looks like. I don't know why it looks this way. Is it God? Do it. Answer when? Now, or you'll miss it. There are times when God has to prepare you for something, like Moses in the wilderness, but he did it because Moses was disobedient. Right? 40 years he was shorted. 40 years because he ran from God. He wasn't obedient. And then when God calls him the second time, a God of second chances, called him a second time, he made seven excuses to not do it. And finally he just told the truth, I don't want to. And you know what? Moses got shortchanged because he copped out on God. Aaron became the spokesperson. Now, God, Moses was the point man, but Aaron was the spokesperson, and Moses had to share the glory of God with Aaron because he didn't say yes. Man, that can't be our life. Please, let's not, who cares what happened before today? But from today forward, let's not let that be our life. Open wide your mouth, he says, and I will fill it. Learn that scripture. Open wide. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I want you to go and look it up. I could tell you where it is, but I'm not going to. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? He says, my sheep know my voice. We'll give you one more verse. You don't even have to turn there. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30 says this. do not grieve the Holy Spirit, through whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit seals you and keeps you in Christ from the time you come a Christian until you see Him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why when that person walks away and you didn't say anything, why you feel the way you feel inside, because the Holy Spirit is grieving that that didn't take place. You're feeling that in your spirit. You don't want that to be your story. You don't want that to be your story. The writer of Hebrews says, while it's called today, don't harden your hearts. The Holy Spirit says, while it's called today, don't harden your heart. While it's called now, while He's speaking in the moment, don't harden your heart like Israel did in the rebellion. But respond, and respond quickly when God says to do something. Trust Him. That's where the litmus test is. I trust you or I don't. Do you remember experiencing God? When the Spirit speaks, what you do next says what you really believe about God. Can't get out from under that one. It's what you really believe. You do it, you believe. You don't, you don't. Let's be believers. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Your Spirit, we can't function without your Spirit. God, we're just us without your Spirit. God, we're the sinners we've always been without your Spirit. You have given us a gift that makes us different. You've given us a gift that gives us power to overcome. You've given us a gift that advances your kingdom. You have invited us in, God, to your kingdom to do things that we could never do on our own and watch your kingdom grow because of sinners such as I. How amazing is that, God? And to think that we would reject what you're telling us to do is just, it just shows our nature, Father. Let us fight that battle that Paul fought. Why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things I should? Let that war be going on inside of us, Father. And at the end of the day, God, you win. You win. You win, Father. Every time, you win. Make us more than we ever imagined we could be, God. Help us obey you promptly. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need an altar, you go to an altar and pray. If you raise your hand, someone will come pray with you. If you need to come back to the back and pray, Lori and I are back here, and I'm going to invite Jeremiah and Courtney back here as well. Just some people who can pray with you if you need prayer.